Okay, we're back. By the way, I appreciate all the great comments during the break. It's just great to listen to you talk to one another about how basic, simplistic, but yet unbelievably eye-opening this information is when you understand just how profound, how deep, and how powerful these simple concepts are. Any questions, comments, or observations about anything we covered so far? Yes. Good question. The question is, what about do we learn more by teaching? And I was going to bring this up a little later, but I'll bring it up now since you asked the question. I talked about the ways that we as members of the societies learned this information. I mentioned that there were some, on occasion, quote, workshops or seminars that we participated in groups. I mentioned that we learned a lot of this information via books, and I explained the reason we learned it from the books. They weren't manuals with instructions, but they were generally 80% stories. And these stories were about real people. And some of these manuscripts, by the way, are actually over 1,000 years old. Many of them have been, obviously, they're not from the same paper that were printed 1,000 years, but they were passed down verbatim, and now are housed in society members' homes in manuscript form. And some of them have been, reprinted and reprinted and reprinted over the millenniums. And we're given access to these books. And we learned by reading the books, by using our imagination, we actually observed real people. And by observing, we developed those neural pathways in our mind. That's how we learned the basics. We also learned it by observing our teachers, our quote mentors, the people that we were assigned to that kind of were our personal teachers. We also observed other people who were in the societies and observed them, and we're always kind of on call for being questioned on what our observations were, because observations were very, very powerful. Obviously, by doing it ourselves over and over at the conscious competence level. But there was also another method. But this happens later, and this is by teaching. This is overdone in today's society. Everybody wants to be a teacher. Everybody wants to teach a seminar, write a book, before they know anything. I mean, it's really unbelievable to me who's teaching stuff. It's like, why don't you learn it first before you teach it? And someone says, well, you learn it best by teaching. Well, you can't learn anything that you don't know by teaching it. Do you understand? You're just teaching wrong stuff. You're adding all of your old habits, all of your old patterns into the new material that you got. You turn around and teach it, and you muddle up the whole water. And I'll give you a perfect example of this. We used to play that game when we were kids. You get five or six people in a circle, and I would tell a short story, only 1 or 2 minutes long. And I'd whisper it into a person's ear. They would turn around and whisper it to the next person, who would then turn around and whisper it to the next person, who would whisper it to the next person, who would whisper it to the next person. And that person would get up and tell the story. And it was nothing, nothing like the story that I started with. You know what I'm talking about here? That's how the teaching method works today, with all of these people trying to teach stuff. So the problem here is when I teach you, and then you turn around and teach that guy, before you know it, you're adding all your own garbage and you're changing the recipe. And that's why the guy fourth down the chain, he ain't learning the truth. He's getting all wrong information. And this is the method of teaching today. That's why when you read most books, who do you listen to? Who do you listen to? This great teacher of wisdom and knowledge that got it from four mentors, who got it from their mentors, who got it from all started teaching it to people before they learned it, before they knew it. before they've proven that it really works. And it gets muddled up all the way down the track. And that's why 99% of the books, that's another reason why 99% of the books and seminars and workshops that you're going to are not only a waste of time, but detrimental. Because they're giving you wrong information. And that wrong information is not on purpose in many cases. It's by well-meaning people. But you're not getting the true information. Yes, we get to the level of superior expertise or superior proficiency in this data when we start teaching it. But I can tell you, you're an apprentice. You're learning until the day you die. And you have to have that spirit of a student. You have to have a high teachability index till the day you die. You're always learning from somebody. But you're not teaching this stuff until you have really mastered it. And we never started teaching it until the mastery, the proficiency of the data was evidenced by the physical manifestations in the real physical universe. In other words, we could make the souffle. Okay? I kicked butt making that souffle thousands of times before I taught anybody else how to make a souffle. Do you understand that? So some of you already are itching to teach this stuff. It's like, I want to teach. Slow down. Calm down. Because right now, you still have 99.9% junk in your head and wrong neural pathways and screwed up knowledge. So you're adding this. You can't teach it yet. You need to master it yourself first by using the methods I taught. So or I mentioned. Again, how are you going to learn this information, the basics? First, for you, it's CDs. This CD series, listen to it over and over and over and over again. You can listen to this 100 times. And on the 101st time, it's going to be like a brand new CD series. Why? The reason you listen to these CDs over and over again, the reason you read books more than one time over and over and over and over again, is because every time you listen to a CD series or observe a master doing something, or you do it yourself, or you read a book, every time you do that, you are at a new place. You have a different set of neural pathways at different sizes that are vibrating and attracting different things. You are a new person tomorrow compared to today. If you were to listen to this entire day's training tomorrow, it would be like a brand new experience because you're a different person and you're going to be receiving it differently and picking up different things. So the way that you learn this data is to listen to these CDs over and over and over and over and over and over. This is the key. If you miss this point, it's like, I love it when people say, you know, there's a couple of great books out there, okay? One is by Dale Carnegie, How to Win Friends and Influence People. That teaches specifically some techniques. So it's not as important, but it's a great book. I use this as an example. I go to people, have you read the Dale Carnegie book? Oh yeah, I read that. Oh, so you know, yeah, I know it all, I read it. When did you read it? Oh, I read that too. Well, I read that about 25 years ago. I go, you know, they redid the whole book. You should read it again. Of course, they haven't read that. It's the same book. Guy reads it and goes, oh my God, yeah, they redid the whole book. It's like a brand new book. It's the same book, Charlie. You're different. You can't, it's like people say, oh, I read a book once. I listened to a CD once. I went to a seminar once. Really? If I said, hey, let's go to dinner tonight, you wouldn't say, oh, no, it's okay. I ate once in my life, 20 years ago. You eat every day, you feed your body every day. You got to feed your mind every day because you're growing. Your mind is growing just like your body. It needs new information every day. Take that back. It needs information every day, even if it's the same, because it becomes new every time you listen to it or read it or observe it or do it. You make a souffle 1,000 times. Every time you make it, it's a new experience. And you're learning something new every time you do it. Every time you throw a punch, the monk taught me, it's a new experience. You're learning something new every single time. You're adding to what you knew, you're adding something new because you're a new person. So CDs, listen to CDs over and over again, constantly. Reading books, constantly. So for you, those listening to this at home, and those of you here, you need to be listening to these CDs over and over and over and over again so you can master the basics and master all the material. You need to be reading books over and over and over again. When you get to a certain level of mastery, and we'll know, there'll be a series of methods that we will employ so we can know which people who are participating in this gathering of knowledge and learning experience. We'll know which ones of you are ready for the next level. And the next level is that you can participate in some live training. Now, by the way, all of you here, don't expect that you'll automatically be invited to live training again. Ooh, some of you are like, huh, what do you mean? Don't I automatically, am I in the club? No. You have to qualify to be in the club. Just like I had to qualify to move up within the Brotherhood. Just like a military person has to qualify to get, you know, to become an officer and then move all his way up to general and then up to 1-star, 2-star, 3-star, 4-star, 5-star general. Just like you had to qualify in the Masons to get up to a 33 degree. Every person who passed the third degree didn't make it the fourth. Every person who was at 20th degree didn't make it the 21st. Didn't get accepted. They didn't qualify. Why? Because they stopped understanding who they should listen to. Their teachability index was low. They were out of whack on the training balance scale. And they weren't unconsciously competent on the information that they already learned. See, if you've learned a certain amount of data, okay, we taught you how to make 5 dishes. Well, if you ain't a master at making those 5 dishes, we ain't gonna teach you how to make a 6th dish here at the cooking school. Does this make sense? So for you, listening to CDs, reading books, then if you qualify, you'll be invited to come to some live training. And then if you qualify by becoming unconsciously competent in the material you're being exposed to, then you'll qualify to have a personal mentor. A personal mentor. And I'm looking at you right now, your eyes are like, I want that, I want that, I want that. Some of you won't even care. Some of you won't even want that because you'll be so successful, having so many wonderful things happen in your life, you won't even care, which is perfectly fine. You're following your heart's desire, your bliss, your happiness. You're following your dreams, your goals, not anybody else's. There's no right and wrong here. Nobody's better because they've gotten to 33 degree in the Masons, or they've gotten to be a certain level in certain groups. Nobody's better. We just have more knowledge, which makes us available for those who want more knowledge. Doesn't make us better. So some of you will be allowed to have personal mentors if you qualify. And then you'll be able to get one-on-one training and observe your mentor and other members personally. And by that personal observation, that's another level. You should always, throughout this entire process, be doing this material yourself by developing neural pathways by doing it, which means you're going to be taught how to make the dish. You're going to be taught how to make the souffle. That means you actually go and make some souffles. You have to physically do it. See, when you go, I love people who are, you know, follow the gurus, you know, the seminar teachers, the lecturers, the guys who do all the big fancy seminars and all the stuff. And I pop in once in a while and I talk to people. It's like, do you like this particular teacher? Oh, I go to all of his seminars. I love him. He's the best. Oh, really? Go to all of them? I've gone for years. Yeah. Never miss one. Oh, good. So you must be applying this in your life. Well, you know, I'm still learning. Still learning. See, they missed the point. Because one of the most powerful ways to learn this stuff is not by teaching it. See, this person wants to be a teacher. It's like, listen, you're in cooking school. You've learned how to make a souffle. You've come to all the classes. Go and cook a meal. Show your skills. You're not doing anything yet. Trust me, when you go into the kitchen and cook on your own, you're going to learn more than you had in the last 5 years going to these dumb seminars. Just one day in the kitchen cooking on your own. So you need to apply this stuff in your own life. Then you'll have the physical evidence that you know it works because you've made it work. And that process of doing it, you'll learn more. So for you, listening to CDs, reading the books, doing it, making it work, manifesting the things you want in your life. Then, if you qualify, some seminars that you'll be invited to. You'll be available if you qualify after that for personal mentor. We can get one-on-one observation, one-on-one training, and observing others. And then only then will you be at the point where you qualify to potentially teach this and be a mentor. And people, this is the greatest part, you know? Cracks me up. People say, well, I don't want to be a one-on-one mentor. I want to teach the big seminars. Okay, well, there's a reason why we don't teach big seminars. As I mentioned, the way we learn this in the societies ain't through big seminars. The guys who teach the big seminars make their money teaching seminars. And the people who teach the seminars, 90, and I know them all, by the way. I mean, I've been there. I've spoken on the stages. I've gotten paid $1 million to speak, to stand up on stage. But all the guys and ladies that do the seminars do so because their ego, and I'm not saying this in a judgmental way, by the way, because they're following their bliss. They get so much pleasure out of teaching. They love being on stage, like being a rock star. And there's nothing wrong with that. But in terms of your benefit, you're not going to get that much benefit of manifesting your desires unless someone said, well, my desire is to teach big seminars. Well, that's fine. Nothing wrong with that at all. But this material, if you really want to learn this material, it isn't by teaching it in the beginning. You'll fine-tune it and get it better. By doing it yourself, you'll learn more than by teaching it. Believe me, as you start going through this, your ego will get out of the way, and most of you have this big dream of teaching big seminars, if that's your goal and dream. It will probably fade away because you'll see that that is just such a short-term, ego-driven goal anyway, that you'll have other desires will start springing forth within you. But I gotta be careful, because if it is your dream and desire to be on stage and teach people, then I embrace that, I support that. It's whatever your dream and goal is, whatever will make you happier. So I hope that answered your question about teaching. So let's just make sure we got the five basics down. Then we're gonna go on. The five basics, I'm saying, oh, there were four basics. Some of you weren't paying attention. The first one is, who do you listen to? The second one is, what's the teachability index? The third is the training balance scale. The fourth is the four steps leading up to unconscious competence. What's the fifth one? You're right. The fifth one is master the first four. See, the five basics. The fifth basic is a basic. The fifth one is the most important of the basics. And that's master the basics. Focus on the fundamentals. That's the fifth basic. That's the most important. If you spend all your time and effort on those first four, magical things will happen in your life. Why? Some of you heard a phrase that says, when the student is ready, the teacher will appear. What does that mean? By the way, it's true. What it means is when you are 100% teachable, you have a 10 willingness to learn, 10 willingness to accept change. When you're not focused on the how, but focused on your dream, the training balance scale. When you're focusing on unconscious competence, which means you're, as the Shaolin monk said, you're focusing on that one strike 10,000 times. Remember the phrase, I am not afraid of the 10,000 strikes you know you've practiced once. I'm deathly afraid of the one strike you've practiced 10,000 times. See, I'm not afraid of the people who know all this information that I'm going to teach you this weekend. I'm afraid of the guy who has focused on the four basics and knows it better than anybody. Not afraid. I'm impressed, I should say. That's the guy who's going to create more. See, if somebody just knows the four basics and focuses on all that and understands how in-depth each one of them are and how complex they can be and how much meat you can delve into, minutia on each one of those, that's when magic happens in his life. The guy who knows all the stuff but hasn't focused on any of it to a level of proficiency, it's like the guy who knows 10,000 strikes. Well, he gets killed in a fight. You should be afraid of the one person who knows one strike that he's practiced 10,000 times. That was Bruce Lee. Some of you forget. Some of you may not remember his story, which I won't go into. But he revolutionized martial arts because up until that point, all the martial artists knew so much material that they'd get into fights for hours with one another. And Bruce Lee would get into the ring with these masters, and he would end it within a minute because he only focused on a couple strikes. Boom, boom, it's over. Because he understood. So the five basics. Who do you listen to? Teachability index, training balance scale, four steps. And the fifth basic, which is the most important, is master the basics. Focus on the fundamentals. Spend all your time and effort going back to those four things over and over and over and over and over again. Focusing, learning, putting effort, developing neural pathways, developing new habits, new patterns, changes in your thoughts and behavior by focusing on those four things. Every time you focus on that and apply something and do something in your life with a thought process or a focus on one of those basics, changes the way you do things and think, developing bigger neural pathways on those four basics. And that's when magic appears in your life as if by magic, because it is magic. That's when you're getting unconscious competence and all of a sudden everything starts happening in your life by magic. So where are we at now? We have the basics. You don't have them down because we haven't focused on them. I'm giving you the thumbnail sketch. I'm giving you the bird's eye view. I'm giving you the overview here. Now I could, like I said, take each one of these basics and lecture you, and there are what's called drills, which we're not going to do because of time constraints here. But in the future, when I put together more of this material, there's going to be drills on each one of these, which will increase your knowledge and proficiency, your depth of knowledge, your depth of understanding on every concept presented today and tomorrow. So each concept is going to have a complete set of CDs, which could be 5 hours, 10 hours, 30 hours, depending. In each one of those, we'll be focusing on just one concept, like the training balance scale or like the four steps. And it will consist of a series of drills in which you and I will do together And if you hear it live, you'll be working with some of the other members and some of my other colleagues that will be coming in from time to time. And these drills will basically get you doing something physically, mentally, drilling a concept so that you experience knowing this and a learning process from doing it and having somebody observe you correcting what you're doing wrong, getting you to do it right, because it's stupid to practice something over and over and over again if you're doing it wrong. Doesn't that make sense? You want to make sure you're practicing it right. You have a practice makes perfect. That's not true. Because if you're practicing the wrong thing, you're never going to become perfect. Perfect practice makes perfect. You have to practice the right way. So these drills will help you practice things the right way over and over again. You'll experience a new level of understanding by doing it and having somebody correct you. And then you get to unconscious competence much faster, so that you're tying the shoe without thinking. And you're a genius at tying your shoelace. And that's when you'll be able to throw that punch and stop a foot and a half before the candle flame, and the candle flame will go out. Because the punch to anybody else is just a punch. But to you, the punch is a punch. See, to anybody else, the training balance scale is just a training balance scale. To anybody else, the teachability index is just a teachability index. I get it. I got to be teachable. Got to be coachable. I got it. You don't got it. Because the fact that you're not listening to me and you're cutting me off and you don't want to learn anything more because you think you know it all means you don't got the teachability index. Does this make sense? You just showed me you don't know it. Some of you are like going, say that again. I love it when I tell people, when I'm talking about a concept and they go, I got it. And I go, no, the fact that you just told me you got it tells me you don't got it. Because you stopped being teachable right now. And unless you are high on the teachability index, I don't care if you're 85 years old and you're worth $100 billion. Guess what? Those guys, and I know them, they're still teachable. Matter of fact, they're the most teachable because they are the true masters. They know that they don't know. See, they know a lot. Yeah. But we know this. We don't know what we don't know. We don't even know what we don't know. There's still so much we don't know. See, we become more teachable in time. And those who become less teachable over time because they think they know it all, they never move up and get any more knowledge. They stop learning. They stop growing. And generally, they start going backwards. Because if you're not growing, you're dying. So let's talk about after the basics. Now we have our foundation. Now we're going to start planting some seeds. So let's start talking about specifically how you can be, do, or have anything you want in life. How you can make whatever you desire happen in your life for real and happen fast. Let's talk about the power. Let's talk about the button you can push to manifest whatever you want into your physical experience. Let's talk about how to get Aladdin's lamp. We're going to continue to go back to the four basics over and over and over and over again. Oh, yeah, I know. There are five basics. Thank you. Yes, there are. Right, thank you, Charlie. Five basics. The fifth basic is master the basics. So we'll be talking about the first four basics. How's that? We'll continue to go back to them, because without them as your base, you're not going to learn any of this stuff. It's not going to make any sense. You're not going to get anything real in life. Aladdin's lamp, your own personal genie. You want one? Want them today? Today, yeah, right now. Oh, you don't have to wait 5 years. No, your genie is going to be given to you today, and he will be at your beck and call today, and you will be able to tell him whatever you want, and your genie will make any wish you want come true. Fast. In the 1960s, there was a man by the name of Earl Nightingale. Yeah, some of you know. Smiles on your face. Earl Nightingale, in the 60s, made an LP, a record album. This is before CDs, before 8-tracks, before cassettes. They were called vinyl records. And his LP was entitled The Strangest Secret. And it became one of the best-selling personal development recordings of all time. Earl Nightingale popularized a little-known secret concept that was rarely discussed or written about up until this point. Very rarely. The first time in the 20th century it was popularized was back in the 20s and 30s by a man by the name of Napoleon Hill, which we'll talk about in a moment. In Earl Nightingale's recording, The Strangest Secret, he coined the definition of what he called the strangest secret. He said, on planet Earth, all across the globe, there's a secret of success. And he said it was the strangest secret. The secret was, quote, you become what you think about most of the time, end quote. The strangest secret, according to Earl Nightingale, was you become what you think about most of the time. In the 20s and 30s, there was a man by the name of Napoleon Hill who wrote several books. His first book is something you've never heard of, called The Law of Success in 16 Lessons. And Napoleon Hill's story is quite unique. At the turn of the century, the richest man on planet Earth was Andrew Carnegie. Andrew Carnegie owned U.S. Steel. He was a Scotsman. This is before TVs and telephones and transatlantic air travel. It was a much slower time, and he became the richest man in the world in the steel business. He didn't invent the steel business, by the way, because Andrew Carnegie understood a basic principle. We'll talk more about tomorrow when we talk about money. But his principle was pioneering don't pay, which is an interesting principle, which we'll talk about tomorrow. But Carnegie became the richest man in the world. He was a member of the Brotherhood, knew the powerful secret techniques, and he utilized them. He decided to reveal to the world some of these techniques. He hired a man by the name of Napoleon Hill, and he said, I'm going to teach you some of these techniques, but I want you to observe that these techniques are not mine, but are used by the richest people in the world. So Carnegie said, I'm going to introduce you to Henry Ford, one of the richest people in the world, Thomas Edison, Firestone, who owned Firestone Tire Company, and a lot of other names you wouldn't even recognize, but at the time they were the richest people in the world. He said, I'm going to introduce you to these people. They're not going to know what you're doing, but you're going to observe them. Key. He had Napoleon Hill observe. It's the same techniques that I was taught. You take an apprentice and you have them observe, and then you query them. You ask them questions. What did they observe? And you point out things that they didn't observe. That's how they learn. That's how you learn. He gave Napoleon Hill books. Basically, Napoleon Hill was not a member of the Brotherhood, but Carnegie took him on as an apprentice in effect and taught him the same material. And he said, I want you to learn this material over the next 20 years. Then I want you to write a manuscript describing the principles. But I want this manuscript to be focused on money. Thus came out the book in 1926, The Law of Success in 16 Lessons. Napoleon Hill was amazed at what he was taught by Andrew Carnegie and what he observed from Henry Ford and many of the others. Again, the richest people in the world. Never before in history had somebody done this. And never before since, until now. Because this is how we were, all my colleagues here, this is how we were taught. We were introduced to the richest people in the world as our mentors. We observed the richest people in the world, not just from a money standpoint. When I say the word rich, yes, some of the financially richest people, people who have the most money, but people who have been rich in terms of happiness, those who are really making their dreams and desires come true. And I want you to understand, this is not all about money. Yeah, tomorrow we're going to talk about money. But today we're really not talking about rich or success from a monetary standpoint. Rich or success is how blissfully happy are you? Now, it's probably impossible to be blissfully happy if you can't pay your bills, if you're massively in debt, if creditors and bill collectors are hounding you. It's probably hard to be blissfully happy, although not impossible. But certainly that's not a good state to be in. So blissfully happy is really the objective here. Tomorrow we're going to be focusing on money, and there's nothing wrong with having lots of money. So Napoleon Hill learned many principles and put them forth in the book, The Law of Success in 16 Lessons. And interestingly, we'll talk more about it tomorrow, but interestingly, when he put these together, members of the societies got together. Keep in mind, many of them, most of them controlled the media, publishing houses, manufacturing, and so forth. That's just how it works. Because when you learn these principles, you pretty much become the captains of industry. So when he published this book, led by Henry Ford, the group that opposed revealing these secrets got the book off the market and had it edited down dramatically. It basically just vanished. And in 37, Napoleon Hill published a watered-down version called Think and Grow Rich. Same thing happened. It was pulled off the market, edited down and watered down dramatically. So all the key elements were taken out. And again, this was spearheaded allegedly by Henry Ford. It's been verified to me verbally. Whether it's true or not, of course, it's more of a legend than anything, but it's pretty obvious that that's what happened. But Napoleon Hill made a statement, many statements, but the one I want to focus on in today's session is this. Napoleon Hill said, quote, whatever the mind of man can conceive and bring itself to believe, it can achieve. End quote. Whatever the mind of man can conceive and bring itself to believe, it can achieve. End quote. Now combine that with Earl Nightingale's definition of the strangest secret, which is you become what you think about most of the time. So let me talk about specifically how to manifest your desire and how it works. Today, a book came out a few years ago, which became very popular, called The Secret And it's a wonderful, wonderful book, and I encourage everyone to read it. It's a great book. In The Secret, that book described something called the Law of Attraction. And it really is the first book to popularize on a mass scale the concept of the Law of Attraction. And it became hot for a while, and it's already beginning to fade away for a lot of reasons. The biggest reason is the millions and millions and millions of copies of The Secret that were sold, and then all the other Law of Attraction type books that have been written and sold. It's estimated that somewhere around 50 million books teaching or exposing the Law of Attraction have been sold in just the last few years. But why has it already dramatically begun to fade away? Why has there been so much negative publicity about the Law of Attraction being a complete scam? Here's why. Because when people read the book The Secret or any of the similar books teaching the Law of Attraction, people would start applying the Law of Attraction technique in their life. And some people would see some results. But the vast majority, it's been estimated 95%, saw no results. Thus, they said it was a scam. This happened to Napoleon Hill back in the 20s and 30s with his book Law of Success in 16 Lessons and Think and Grow Rich. Because the original versions were pulled and the key elements stripped away, the majority of people read watered-down versions with key ingredients missing. Thus, when they applied it, some people saw some results, but the vast majority, 95% of those who read Napoleon Hill's works, saw no results. Thus, the techniques must be a scam. If you got a recipe that said, this is how to make delicious chocolate cake, and the original recipe actually delivered the end result of delicious chocolate cake when you followed the recipe exactly. But because the person whose recipe it was didn't want other people to make the same delicious chocolate cake he made, he then took out some key ingredients of that recipe and maybe even changed some of the others. You then got a different recipe. And when you followed that new recipe exactly, which omitted some key ingredients and maybe changed the recipe a little bit, like baking time or temperature or the amount of milk or the amount of flour, you then did not get delicious chocolate cake. You got something else. But maybe you didn't get delicious chocolate cake because you were a buffoon and actually didn't follow the recipe exactly. So you got the screwed up recipe, but you screwed up the screwed up recipe, and by accident you actually made a good recipe and you got delicious chocolate cake. Does this make sense? So this is what happened over the years with the Law of Attraction and Napoleon Hill's works. Well, I'm here to tell you, and my colleagues are as well, again, the evidence is right before your eyes, that the Law of Attraction does work. And we're here to tell you that it's categorically true. Whatever the mind of man, which means you, whatever you can conceive in your own mind, whatever you wish for, whatever you want to be, do, or have, as long as you believe it, it will happen. In the words of Earl Nightingale, whatever you think about, whatever you want that you think about, whatever you think about, most of the time, that's what you get. Is it that easy? No, quite frankly, because there are a lot of little key elements here. When you look at all the key elements, it becomes incredibly easy. So here's how it works. I'm going to give you the thumbnail sketch. Then we'll take a break, and then we'll actually put this into action. And your genie, in the next couple hours, is going to be given commands from you. And some of you tonight, before you go to bed, will start seeing physical manifestations of what you want actually happen. And it will blow your mind. Because you're about to learn the real recipe. Without the missing ingredients, without the changes, you're about to get the real secret recipe that's never been released before. So here's how it works. Here's the overview first. You have a brain. It's in your skull. Outside of your skull is what you have is called the mind. In every continent, there are different words for the mind. It doesn't matter. The point is, we all know and can concur and agree that we have a brain in our skull. Whether you believe or disbelieve that there's some type of energetic field outside your body that surrounds your body is irrelevant. And the reason why I say that is because what I'm going to tell you is a physiological, not a mystical, not a spiritual, but a physiological, scientifically proven, just like you have blood in your veins, that's proven, just like I have a brain in your skull, that's proven, just like you have a heart in your chest that pumps blood, that's proven, just like you have hormones in your body, that's proven. What I'm going to share with you is physiologically, scientifically proven, quantifiable, measurable. Whether you believe it or not, it's irrelevant. Remember, I was chatting with a guy one time, and I said, well, don't you have to believe this to make it work? He said, no. He said, because some things don't require belief. I said, what do you mean? He goes, like the law of gravity. He said, whether you believe in the law of gravity or not, it is always a constant because it's a law of gravity, not a belief of gravity. He said, if you walk to the top of a roof, whether you believe in the law of gravity or not, if you walk off the edge, you're going to go down. And I said, but wait a minute, I read a lot of these mystical, esoterical, spiritual books that says, if I believe, I can defy the law of gravity. And he goes, guess what? Maybe that's true. So let's see if it is or not. Show me somebody that will walk off this building and float. If you can't show me somebody, then maybe it isn't true. Or maybe it's true, but so far of a stretch for you to believe right now, who cares whether it's true or not? The fact is, 99.9% of the people will go down. Does this make sense? So let's just deal with the fact that 99.9% of the people, we'll even give a little bit of a breather for that one person that may exist on planet Earth. Although, you know, there's 5 billion people on the planet, and I don't know how many billions and billions and billions over the last couple hundred years have lived, but I don't know if there's no picture, there's no evidence, there's no recording of somebody walking off a building and floating in midair. We're not talking a magic trick here with a crane. We're talking about a real situation. So whether 100 years from now somebody will develop the belief power where they can do that, that's fine. But let's deal with our reality today. Look, you're 30, 40, 50 years old. What do you got, 40, 50, 60 years left here? You're not going to walk off the top of a building. And guess what? How is it going to benefit your life anyway? So let's just deal with the fact that this is a law of gravity. Whether you believe it or not, it's true. So let's just deal with these laws on how the body works, the mind works, and the brain works, and how the physical universe works as we know it today. Let's just deal with the accepted laws, let's call it that, so that you can create anything you want. Forget the theory. Let's just deal with the accepted reality. Because even dealing with accepted reality, you can create anything you want. You don't have to be so esoteric and mystical and meditate for 8 hours a day thinking that that's going to give you nirvana. And by the way, if you are listening to this, or if you're here today and you're thinking, I love meditating, I embrace that. I'm not downing meditating. I'm trying to make a point. Whatever you want to do is fine, provided that you don't bitch and complain that you're not getting what you want when you use your technique instead of the proven technique. This makes sense? I am not going to make souffle the way you said because I think you can do it this other way. Good. How come you can't make a souffle then? When me and all these other people are making souffles every 10 seconds, we're like, this is like a no-brainer. We make souffles. Why don't you just do what we're doing? We're making souffles. Why do you have to come up with this other theory that it's never been proven? You're going to die and never make it real. And even if you do, why are you going to struggle your whole life going down some other track? So let's just deal with the simple, basic fundamentals of how this works. Then we're going to do it. So you have a brain, and you potentially have a mind. Now, by the way, some of you already crashed on who you're going to listen to. See, some of you are already going, whoa, huh? See, some of you already shifted on who you're going to listen to. And you're thinking about, well, wait a minute. I'm a Christian. Is that going to be in conflict with my religious beliefs? Or I'm a Hindu, or I'm a Jew, or I'm an atheist. How is this going to conflict with that? Some of you think about, wait a minute, I went to a so-and-so seminar and he said this, which is different. So you're already, that's why we're going back to the basics, already now challenging who you're going to listen to. Some of you have crashed on teachability index. Your willingness to learn all of a sudden crashed and said, wait a minute. Some of you have crashed on willingness to accept change. But that's not how I think. That's not how I believe. If you continue to think like you've always thought, you'll continue to get what you've always got. If you want things in your life to change, you're going to have to change things in your life. Gabish? Some of you are already shifted on the training balance scale, but you're talking about thinking. I need to know what to do. How am I going to do that? You're focusing on the part of the training balance scale which you don't need to focus on because 99.9% of this is thoughts. You with me so far? That's why the basics are there. So you have a brain. You may or may not have a mind, but you have a brain. And you potentially have something outside the body. Whether it's called a field, an electromagnetic energy field, an aura, whatever you want to call it, doesn't really matter. But you have a brain for sure. Thomas Edison, the guy who invented the light bulb, the guy who holds more patents than anybody else in history, although I think Tesla comes close. Thomas Edison is a genius. Albert Einstein, you know him. E equals mc squared, theory of relativity, sometimes referred to as the smartest man who ever lived. Both of these people said the same thing. They scientifically proved at the turn of the century that the brain is a transmitter and receiver of vibrational frequency. Thomas Edison is not an idiot. Albert Einstein is not a moron. These were geniuses. And at the turn of the century, they both concurred that every cell in the human body emits a different frequency. Every thing on planet Earth is made up of energy. Everything, whether it's a rock, an apple, a piece of wood, a plant, an inanimate object like a television, a carpet, everything on planet Earth emits a different frequency. A frequency is also called a vibration, and it's also called energy. It is quantifiable and it is measurable. Your DNA at the lowest level emits a unique frequency. Every atom emits a frequency. Energy and frequency are the same. Frequencies are what radio waves are. Frequencies pass through all known matter. Example, if you're in a house and you get an old transistor radio with an antenna and you turn it on, music magically appears from your transistor radio. The antenna in your house picked up radio frequencies that are broadcast from either a satellite or a transmitter someplace. That transmitter puts out a frequency which instantly is picked up by your transmitter. It bypasses space and time. That frequency from the radio transmitter goes across the ether and it passes through steel, brick, mortar, concrete, glass, wood. It passes right through it. Scientists today cannot explain how a radio frequency passes through solid steel or glass or bricks or mortar or stone, but it knows it does. And the answer is it passes through it because the radio frequency is at a quantum physics level smaller than an atom. It's smaller than an electron. It's smaller than the smallest known particle on planet Earth. It's a frequency. Frequencies exist, they're real. Vibrations exist, they're real. They're scientifically proven. The human brain, according to Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein, is both a transmitter and a receiver of frequency. And Edison, the genius Edison, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of all types of inventions, a genius, along with the mathematician genius Albert Einstein, said that the human brain emits frequencies which, when focused, are picked up by other human brains and pass through the ether to affect other physical matter. I'm quoting them. I'm not making it up. I'm quoting. So the quote is, your brain puts out a frequency which is picked up by other brains. It actually passes through the ether, which means it can pass through steel. It basically is the same frequency type that a radio transmitter puts out. So it can pass through the same things that radio frequencies can put out. But according to Edison and Einstein, your frequency that you're transmitting from your brain is smaller and has a unique characteristic, unlike radio frequencies. According to Edison and Einstein, the frequency that your brain transmits instantaneously travels faster than the speed of light instantaneously, and if transmitted this moment, can be picked up the exact same moment by another human brain on the opposite end of the planet. So the unique ability that your transmitter, your brain has, that a radio transmitter doesn't have, is a radio transmission frequency goes in a straight line. Which is why if you're broadcasting from a satellite, you need other satellites to bounce off it for to get to the other part of the globe. But your frequency has the unique ability to bypass space and time. And when you emit a frequency right now, instantaneously, it is picked up by matter or another human brain anywhere on the planet at the same instantaneous moment with the same amount of energy. This is according to Thomas Edison and Albert Einstein. And at the turn of the century, when Napoleon Hill wrote his book, he found this directly from the richest man in the world. He was told this by Andrew Carnegie. And it was verified by Henry Ford and all the wealthy people. This is one of the secrets that they knew. This is the secret that I was taught. This is the secret that all my colleagues know. That you, sitting here today, and you at home listening to the CD, have in your head the most powerful transmitter and receiver of frequency or energy or vibration on the planet. It's the most powerful and it's the fastest. It's the most powerful and fastest known. Someone always asks me, what about outside planet Earth? And the answer is, this is the basic workshop. We're only going to deal with basic information here today. So we'll leave that question for another day and another time for those of you who qualify at a certain level to discuss those matters, which are very interesting topics of conversation. And I'll be happy to share with you relics and various things at that point, which I'm sure you'll find interesting. So your brain is a receiver and a transmitter of frequency. That's the first concept. And the second concept is the law of attraction, which says, whatever frequency you emit, that exact same frequency is drawn to you. There is a magnetic pull. Whatever frequency you emit, that exact same frequency is drawn to you magnetically. There is a magnetic pull. And this is a scriptural principle for those of you who are Christians or Jews who believe in the Torah or the Bible, for those of you who are Muslims who believe in the Quran, for members of the Hindu faith who believe in the Vedas, people who believe in Confucius or Buddhism. All these books teach very similar concepts. What you sow, also you reap. What you put out comes back. In some spiritual beliefs, it's called karma. But from a physiological, scientific standpoint, we're talking about when you emit a frequency, that frequency comes back, which means the genie in your Aladdin's lamp that you have in front of you, the genie is your brain. The genie is you. That's why the course was, your wish is your command, not your wish is my command. You get to command whatever you want to have happen. Your genie is your brain. When you put out a frequency, the law of attraction says it must come back. The law of attraction is actually a senior law to the law of gravity. Now let me explain that briefly. Oops, let's go back to the four basics. Who should you listen to? The guru, the guy who wrote the book, your mother, your sister, your friend, your relative. How about Thomas Edison? How about Albert Einstein? How about the richest man in the world, Andrew Carnegie? Don't look at me, I'm just the messenger. Who do you listen to? What's your teachability index right now? What's your willingness to learn? For some of you, it went up because all of a sudden I could see you on your faces. It's like, oh, wow. And you're looking at not me, but you're looking at my colleagues and you're looking at this place and you're looking outside and you're thinking, it's real. This is not fantasy land. These are real people who really believe this, who really do this, and look at the results. Ah! Yeah. So some of you, your teachability, some of you at home don't have that luxury. Where's your teachability in this? What's your willingness to learn? Ah, and because I'm throwing out some unique concepts, what's your willingness to accept change? Remember changing some of your behaviors and patterns and things you do, but also changing the way you think. Changing the way you think. Interesting. So your brain puts out frequency, and law of attraction says by magnetic pull, it has to bring that exact same frequency back. Which means, and here's the bottom line, what we're going to teach you is how to put out the frequency of what you want. That's the first key. How to put out the frequency of what you want and how to make that frequency strong enough and have a strong enough magnetic pull to bring in to your physical universe, your own existence, right before your eyes, that which you want. We're going to teach you how to use your transmitter and receiver and use the law of attraction to make what you want happen virtually instantly in some cases. Now I mentioned that the law of attraction is senior to the law of gravity. And some of you said, wait a minute, I thought the law of gravity was a law. Yes, it's a physical law. But it's a physical law, but then there's a quantum physical law, which goes beyond it. You can have a physical law, but sometimes there is a senior law that is superior, that can take precedence. Some of you already put your hands on your hips and teachability index just went down. Willingness to accept change went down. Okay. Well, let me help you anyway. Here's how to help. There is a law of gravity. I mentioned, whether you believe in it or not, it's true. You walk off the top of the building and go straight down. Law of gravity works, period. It's a law, period. Law of gravity is it, period. I don't care. There isn't a person I've ever seen or met that believes that it doesn't exist enough where they can float. So there is a law of gravity, and there's nothing around it. However, look up in the sky, and sometimes you see an airplane or a bird. How does an airplane fly or a bird fly if there's a law of gravity? How do they defy the law of gravity? The answer is, there's a senior law to the law of gravity. It's called the law of lift. The law of lift takes precedence over and is senior to the law of gravity. So we have physical laws in this universe. And then we have senior laws to the physical. And the most senior is the law of attraction, which is based on whatever vibration you put out, whatever frequency that your brain puts out, it will attract. And it will defy any physical law. This is why the training balance scale is so important. When you understand that concept, the how am I going to get the money? It doesn't matter because you're using the law of attraction. The how doesn't matter. Because when you use your thoughts and the law of attraction, the how becomes irrelevant. Ah, And then what my friend who said, when your attitude's right, the facts don't count. Now it makes sense. Because the facts are almost always opinion, but the facts are physical facts, which are superseded by the law of attraction fact. Just like the law of lift supersedes the law of gravity. The bottom line is this: you can have, be, or do anything you want by using your own powerful, most powerful, fastest transmitter and receiver of frequency and vibration and energy called your brain, and by the fact that the law of attraction exists in the universe, meaning whatever you transmit, whatever frequency you transmit, you automatically attract it into your physical existence. And that will break all physical laws, and that's why it looks like magic, or luck, or serendipity, or what a coincidence. Oh, you're the luckiest guy in the world. Who would believe that just happened? It's called, yeah, who would believe? How could that happen? Boy, that's a miracle. Yeah, miracle, luck, serendipity, coincidence, strange circumstances, phenomena beyond our understanding. It's all a senior law to the physical called law of attraction. And using our transmitter, the brain. We're going to do this when we come back. Just remember, you can have, be, or do anything you want. And during the break, focus and go back to the four basics and make sure you're all up on Teachability Index. For those listening to the CD, this is the end of the CD. And for those of you here, let's take a short break and we'll be back in a few minutes.